The following edition of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. To listen to this or any previous episode of Sioux Valley Voice, visit us online at ktna.org. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna and streaming from KTNA.org. This is Sioux Valley Voice. I'm your host, Philip Manning. Today, my guest is Katie Ryder of the Talkeetna Recycling Committee. We'll be discussing the recycling program planned for Talkeetna and taking your calls. The number to call if you want to join in on the conversation is 733-1200, or you can email dj@ktna.org. Katie, thank you for joining me this morning.
Oh, you're welcome, Philip. It was a really nice morning to wake up to a nice solid rain coming down.
Yeah, for sure. We've been definitely in need of that over the past couple of weeks. I should note that we're going to try to get Molly Boyer from Valley Community Recycling Solutions on in the second half hour. So hopefully we'll be able to get a little bit more perspective from the folks who will actually be handling the recycling once it gets out of the transfer site here. We should also mention for full disclosure that Katie's been doing some writing for the news department lately, not concerning recycling, but some things about the fire and working on some mountaineering stuff now. But so let's start at the beginning. How did this plan for recycling program at the Talkeetna transfer site come about?
Well, we were at a community council meeting, and I am on the board for the Talkeetna Community Council, and we had Butch or Macy Shapiro present at the meeting to tell us about some of the plans for, creating a zero waste in the borough. And we realized that this topic was too big for the community council to handle. Thus came the word committee, a new committee. So I was in the middle of winter. I think that was December. And there was a bunch of the board members were absent, and it was my lucky day.
That's how things often seem to work around
depending
here.
So on
whoever's
how you look
willing
at it.
Whoever's willing to step up. So we tried to get Butch Shapiro on the show today, but he's taking some time off right now. So we've talked to him in the past, though, and I'm sure we will again as this gets a little bit more underway. So the borough has an interest in recycling, and I know from what he's said in the past that the idea is that if things can be recycled, then they wouldn't have to go into the landfill cells, and those landfill cells, between opening and closing a new cell, cost something between like $5 and $6 million.
Yes, I think so. You know, I think it's actually $4 million to open and close a cell, and
okay,
they are realizing, you know, how much more complex it is to manage these cells because they have to have a liner,
mm-hmm,
and they have to drain out all of the liquid out of the liner and take that to a waste treatment plant. And so it's getting a lot more complex.
Right. Well, there's a lot of regulations when it comes to groundwater contamination and things like that have to be dealt with. So if the plan is to recycle, then well, I guess let's talk a little bit. So where does this stuff end up going? I mean, we've already kind of hinted at it. But
sure, yeah. Well, the VCRS is the Valley Recycling, or Valley Community Recycling Solutions is what that stands for. And they're a very sophisticated and advanced facility located right next to the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have had funding from the borough, and so they work together as a team. And they've come a long ways in a short amount of time, really, if you look at it. But it's
mm-hmm,
in the history of recycling, they are set up to really start receiving larger amounts of recyclables. And that
okay,
has enabled the borough to, timing is everything on this. And so now the borough is set up to be able to take, 40-yard containers to them. And so they, if you haven't been to VCRS, it's a great place located on the I even think we could even post this little flyer on a KTNA website.
Possibly, yeah. We could at least
right, because it is on the Palmer Wasilla Highway
address. Yeah,
yeah, and you can just it's on. 9465 East Channel. How do you say that? Channel Circle?
I'd have to see it. Chanlute, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right by, in fact, it's right by the Mat-Su Central Landfill. In fact, the little map they've got here, you can see the Central Landfill on it. And like Katie said, they have received some funding from the borough. So that's where these things go. That's where the recycling that gets collected here goes. I guess if you could just kind of walk us through the borough's involvement. I mean, people have wanted recycling here for a long time. It's been tried a few times in the past. It seems like the real difference maker and the reason that it's well on its way to happening now is that the borough is involved now. So what does their involvement look like?
The borough has really, you know, stepped forward with this to make this happen. And I think it's made it easier for our job as a community because they've offered to transport the recyclables from our communities to the VCRS. And that's always been a huge problem in the past, back when Troy Smiley was involved and Noel Carbone and some of those earlier on involved in the getting the recycling going, is that the transporting it became a problem. People got burnt out, and, you know, it's tough to go do your shopping run and have your car full of stinky recyclables every time, especially if they're not yours. So when Butch stepped in at our community council meeting offering that they would transport it, it was just like the green light sign that let's focus on this one goal. And that's what we've done. And so, you know, he said that they would offer to refurbish a container, a 40-yard container, for 10, you know, the estimate that he, the first bid that he got was the $10,000 amount, which seemed like a lot for people in the beginning, that there was a lot of balking at that number. And but when you realize that what came with that was the borough would pay for the transport of the recyclables from our community to VCRS.
Right. And the theory there being that if it had been in the regular trash containers, they would have to transport it anyway, I guess.
Right. And so that, you know, that comes to mind where, you know, the VCRS likes to separate their recyclables. Mm-hmm. And so they're set up for that, not the single stream recycling that some of the Anchorage places do. But the nice thing about doing that is, you know, the cost of that $10,000 is to put three compartments in the container and make it easy for the lids to open and close, to be locked, so when, you know, it's not in hours of operation. So there's a lot more involved in these containers, I think, than people realize.
It's not just a big box.
Right. And they have to be transported, and they have to be tilted onto the floor at VCRS. And there's, you know, the three doors open up. There's the heavier stuff on the bottom. So it's a little more involved than you might think.
Okay. That's good to know. So the actual recycling drop-offs will be at the Talkeetna transfer site.
Correct.
And it'll be kind of over by where the containers are now, I guess.
Correct. And, you know, I think that we discussed that. We had a Talkeetna committee meeting last night, which for everyone who is interested, it's the last Tuesday of the month that we have these meetings, if anyone wants to come at 7 o'clock at the Roadhouse here in Talkeetna. And what we kind of talked about was, how is this going to actually, how do we visualize this? And I think the borough is figuring that out. Right now in the summertime, there is so much volume of garbage that they are not able to take one of their other containers out of the way. And initially, you know, the first container will go probably on the side, and we were saying how it needs to be somewhere where the person that is taking the funds can see, so people aren't just dropping things off there, you know, on closed hours. And so the long run, I think Butch will build a wall, which is what they call that ramp, and so that people can access these. And then there'll be two of them in the long run, but we're going to start with one container.
Okay. So, and that's in progress right now.
It is. And Alaska Waste of Anchorage is working on it. They've been working on it for a couple weeks now. It really should be done, you know, they were hoping by the end of this week. And the way things go, it'll probably be the end of next week.
Okay. So we'll just take a moment here to remind our listeners that this is Sioux Valley Voice, and their topic today is the Talkeetna Recycling Program. The number to call if you want to join the conversation is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. So you said one container is kind of in process right now, and I guess it bears discussing the fundraising a little bit, because you said initially people were balking at a $10,000 number, but as it turns out, the committee had no trouble at all raising and far surpassing that amount.
Yes, you know, it really started off slow, and part of that was due to the time of the year. People in the community in February are not bringing in
a lot of money.
Big fat paychecks.
Yeah.
So I was a little frustrated. I was, you know, picking up the phone, calling off to the phone book, and some of those calls led to individuals making $100 donations. And those who have donated, by the way, thank you so much. Every little bit helps. And we set up an account at the Matsu Credit Union at the Y, so people could just drop in and do that. When we started realizing that $10,000 is just going to get us the container, one of the meetings said we need to raise our goal, and so we raised our goal to $20,000. And then when it came to writing the grants, you know, we realized, well, you know, let's raise our goal to $40,000 and see, you know, what we can do with that. So we started the grant writing process. Matsu Health Foundation came in, and they were the first. They're the first one that we got their grant for $10,000, and
that
was right at the time of the fundraiser, if you recall.
Mm-hmm, I do.
The check came in the mail at the day of the fundraiser, and we went on to have the fundraiser at the hangar on the 18th of April, and it was a wonderful celebration of the community. It was sort of like it was a great, fun night. If those that you were there, it was well organized by Brenda Walsh and a few others, and they raised, I think, just over $7,000 in one night in April in a community that's, you know, not when the business is
right. It was before
in.
The season, before everybody's, you know, working their tails off in the summertime.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun, and it was, you know, to me, it was just saying that the community is ready for recycling. There's enough individuals that already do recycle. They're, you know, tired of taking it in their car themselves. And if they could get a little help and just have to drive it to the transfer site, let's get it going.
Right. Well, or, you know, in the case of what we've done here at KTNA, you know, we've been you know, trying to store it and then waiting until the Earth Day drop-off or something like that has happened. And so, you know, we've been able to recycle some, but I know there are a lot of people who are probably going to be really excited about this. One question that has come up, and there was some back and forth and some confusion, and I mean, the decision came down to the borough assembly during the budget process, but what's this going to cost for people who want to drop off recyclables?
Well, it's going to be free of charge, and this was a back and forth, and, you know, there was, you know, you announce something and then you get the word from the borough and you're like, oh, sorry, folks, it's actually not going to be free. And then, you know, there's been a little bit of that. But it really is, they've made it, you know, thanks to the assembly members, they voted it in to the budget that recycling is going to be free of charge. And starting today, July 1st, I think the bag amount went up from $1
to
$3.
And that's all of the transfer site rates went up, as well as the central landfill rates, I think. And so, and that information, there was a press release on that. So there may be something about that in the news here pretty quickly. But yeah, the per bag rate has gone to $3 per bag. And then the after two bags, of course, they go to the cubic yardage math there. But so I know that was one thing that was really y'all were pushing for in the committee, was to try to get that to stay free. And for this year, at least, that's going to be the case, it looks like.
It's a real motivator, and that's what we want people to do, to realize, you know, I mean, it's amazing when you do separate your trash, how much volume those plastics are, and the aluminum and steel cans. And by the way, those are the three things that we're going to have aluminum cans is a no-brainer, and steel cans, you know, and then the plastics number two is what people voted on at the meetings, and it seems that, you know, the other plastics will be brought into the next container.
Okay. And so plastics number, what are number two plastics?
And so number two, I almost brought my little bucket in here. it's the, you know, milk jugs. It's the number two triangle on the bottom of a container. And there's got to be a seam. And that's what Molly Boyer had brought out. The seam is real important. It's the way that these things break down. And so it's milk jugs, cat litter, shampoo bottles, and that kind of stuff.
So some, I mean, pretty commonly used stuff.
Yeah, and kind of bulky stuff, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. A lot of volume. So you say, you know, the first container is in progress. The second container's on the way. I know that there was talk at one point of the National Park Service getting involved. Is that still on track?
Yes, and you know that's I think I didn't. They are. They're kind of watching and waiting the the way things went with the fundraising. I think I didn't finish.
Their money came up. That, yeah.
It's the committee raised $32,000, and the after the Matsu Health Foundation came in, and then we had, you know, $7,000 from the fundraiser. We had K2 came in, and TAT came in with some money. And then we put in a grant for the MEA Roundup grant. And thanks to Nita Galton, she put the bug in my ear, hey, this one is due tomorrow. Can you do it? And it was one of those like, oh, geez. But really, that was a served 3 hours, and we got that grant for another $10,000 from the MEA Roundup grant.
And that's the one where they round everybody's bill up and then use that money to give out to communities.
Yeah. Vern Halter was really impressed that we got some money out of MEA. But it was just another reason why we were doing we have more at the moment than we need, but you know, things will evolve and we'll spend that money and then we'll need to probably get more money. But the thing is that the Park Service is very involved with recycling. I think Subaru, they're joining up with them.
Right.
And, you know, you've seen the Subaru car driving around, and they're very nationwide, you know, encouraging recycling.
Well, Denali National Park is one of the ones that's now on the Subaru, they call it a zero waste or a zero landfill project. And so I know that Subaru is involved with that. So definitely some interesting stuff that's being worked on there. So.
Yeah, they said that the Palmer landfill is one of the most beautiful landfills they've ever seen.
I don't know what it takes to describe a landfill as beautiful exactly.
Yeah, there's bald eagles flying overhead and, yeah. You know, the whole Chugach Range in the background.
Okay, the locale. Yeah. Okay, right. That I can buy.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you've mentioned what's going to be in the first container. So it's aluminum, steel, and number two plastics. What in the first container is in the works. What's the timeline look like for you? Said, you know, it's maybe going to be done next week. So when is the onlining process going to happen?
We really want to have, you know, we talked about the soft grand opening because we know how things can be. They still need to paint the container and put the stickers on the borough official ones. So we're hoping July 18th that we will be ready at the transfer site, where we need those volunteers to be on site and start receiving the recyclables. And then we said, well, should we push it to the July 25th just to be on the safe, or July 24th, a Saturday, to be on the safe side. But I'm really hoping that July 18th is a realistic opening.
Right.
Where, you know, we might even get some banners and balloons. And
then for the second container, is that a little bit more variable on when that might be happening?
Yes, and the container is being worked on. The second container is at Alaska Waste, so the borough has brought it to be worked on, and so the first container, you know, for them to figure it out takes a little longer.
Okay, so potentially not a very long wait between the two.
Right. Well, part of the deal is where to put them. You know, when you look at the space, it looks like a huge area, but when they're pushing those things around, it's limited. So I think, you know, the figuring out how they're going to set them up, if they need to build a wall for them, will take a little time. But I would say in the fall time, there ought to be two containers.
Okay. And then so once this is up and running on the 18th, and I've got a question in my email that kind of touches on this, but it was something I wanted to touch on as well. So who is going to be able to use these facilities?
Yeah, that was a discussion. Interesting you bring it up. So, you know, it's really set up for residents and smaller businesses that already have an account set up at the transfer station.
Okay.
And so, you know, the borough is going to be, you know, transporting these. The borough doesn't want to have these containers filling up like every other day with large businesses. So, you know, we don't want the larger businesses, of course, already have their self set up, you know.
I think Aramark already does. And they're the concessionaire for a lot of the lodges around the area, not necessarily the one here, but Princess and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like a lot of those do already have their own sort of deal.
Right. And so, you know, we don't want them to think, hey, great, we got to save our money. But I think people realize that. So, you know, it's really set up for the smaller businesses in town that already have accounts set up. And it's kind of an information. It's going to be figuring it out as we
right.
go along.
Well, and when you say smaller businesses, you know, there's a lot of restaurants. I mean, we have a brewery in town.
Yeah,
and so
I think they do a lot of their own stuff. And, okay. you know, we're encouraging those businesses that are doing those trips to town to still do that because initially we don't want to overwhelm the system.
Right. Okay, but most small businesses should be able to have access. It's not,
yes.
if you're a commercial business, you can't get in. That's
right, okay. No. And, you know, it kind of leads me, summertime, cardboard is just such a big one.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm definitely talking to Butch about what we can do with that. Ideally, you know, Burrow talked about having a separate container that's not divided that, you know, would also need to have a compactor. And we're figuring out where the compactor could be located. It needs a power source of the 220, and that's the big factor that the landfill doesn't have that right
okay.
now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe talk to MEA about them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's about 20 past the hour, so we'll go ahead and remind everyone that the topic today on Sioux Valley Voice is the Talkeetna Recycling Project. My guest is Katie Ryder, and we're going to try to get Molly Boyer on the line here in the next half hour. To talk as well. The number to call if you want to join the conversation is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, what, obviously there's been a lot of fundraising going on, and you said the Park Service is kind of in wait and see right now on
their
are. Involvement.
And there'll be some need for, you know, we've talked about getting it on board in town. I mean, with the tourism going on right now, it's
right.
just painful to see all of the trash cans flowing over with number ones, you know, the water bottles and cans.
Well, and that was one of my other questions is, you know, initially number one isn't going to be in the first one, but you said, you know, but the second container is already in progress as well.
Yes, it is.
Because there are an awful lot of pop bottles and water bottles and stuff like that.
There is. And, you know, if there becomes a lot of discussion, you know, it's nothing set in stone on that plastics number two and the plastics number one. So, you know,
okay.
it's something that if it really seems logical to start with the number one first, CC Schuenberger, who is the volunteer coordinator, and I were discussing just that very fact.
Okay. Yeah. So as we're getting closer and closer here, Is this going to be something that's available whenever the transfer site is open, or how does that work?
Well, you know, good to bring up, Philip. The transfer site is open all days of the week except for Wednesdays and Thursdays. That's how I remember. And recycling will be open only on Saturdays for starters.
Okay. And what's the reasoning behind that?
Well, it's we need to have it's up to us to make sure that we're putting in the right stuff in the right bin
okay.
for this to work. And so we really need to have on-site volunteers. And we figured starting with one day will help that. There will be someone on site to
make it a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, it's when you say you got to make sure the right things are in the right bin, that's so once it gets there, it's already sorted? Or
yes. And so, you know, education is really where we're at. We've done well in the fundraising. Now we're educating people how to correctly do it. And, you know, the containers have to be clean, and we want to have it where the person doesn't just drop a bag off and drive off. They're going to have to be on site until it's just like at VCRS, you know, there's volunteers there. You wait for them to sort it because some of the stuff doesn't actually, is acceptable. And so then the people that bring it in are going to have to then pay for that to be put in the trash.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get it figured out
yeah.
some other way.
And cleanliness, I cannot emphasize enough of just habits of, you know, I know in our household, our house looks a little different since we've been recycling. There's containers here and there by the sink. It's by the doorway. You're kicking things around. And, you know, that's something that we want to help people to help organize their recyclables. But it's habits. And once you you know, pour your tomato sauce in the pan, then you go rinse it out
rinse the can, while
it's moist, and then you don't have to like scrub it out. It's not an issue. The yogurt containers or the milk containers with just, you know, a little bit of milk
just
left
get that,
in there.
Yeah, and it gets
just
all
to get
dried
that
on.
Nice curdly smell. Yeah. We don't want to have our volunteers be like, whoa, this is really the reality of sorting trash is not that pleasant.
Yeah.
We need to help from the very beginning.
Okay. And so for folks who are interested in volunteering, you said you're going to need volunteers. And I would assume the more volunteers you have available, the more days potentially that this could be open
for
recycling.
You are right about that. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to look for Cece's phone number here.
Okay.
I forgot my glasses. Let's see. Yeah. So the idea is to have the volunteers is really where it's at now. And you know, for all of you listening, thank you for tuning in. It's really up to this next step of having help and making it fun. So on Saturdays from 10 to 3 is when it'll be open, or no, 11 to 3, and there'll be two two-hour shifts. So from 11 to 1 and then 1 to 3, two people helping out at a time. You know, we're going to set you up with gloves and we'll make it as organized as possible there. And that way, you know, we won't burn out people. If everyone has a turn, they also learn about when they're separating of what really works
right.
and what doesn't.
And how the whole process works. Well, I mean, there's a Facebook group as well, right, that people can go to if they need information or maybe if they want to help?
You bet. And it's called Talkeetna Recycling Works. And you can just ask to be part of the group. And it's a great little spot where we announce meetings and updated information.
Okay.
Oh, look at here. Mm. I even have Cece's phone number.
There
handy.
We go.
Okay. Cece's phone number is 355-8324. And she is willing to take your information. And we will have a training. And we're going to do a training here sometime this month. Can you believe it's July?
I know. Yeah. No, it is now this
Happy
month.
Happy July 1st, everybody. Yeah. But we will do a training, and, you know, there's not that much involved in the training, but just to kind of make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Okay, I see. So we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, but we do still have a couple of minutes. So as far, you know, so people separate their recycling, and I know one of the things that's been discussed, I think you brought it up, I don't remember if it was a recycling committee meeting or a community council meeting, but you know, one, and you just brought it up a few minutes ago, is kind of helping people develop the habits of how to sort and things like that. So, I mean, is that one of the things that when you're saying you need money above and beyond for the containers, is that kind of outreach and education? Is that part of that?
Oh, yes. And we discussed it at last night's meeting of having a flyer that goes out. You know, we ideally have something that has something that you can put up on your refrigerator even.
Okay.
And some of the funds can be used for a snazzy little flyer. You know, we get a little Talkeetna Recycling Works logo going, and then it lists the items that will be recycled, and people can be reminded of that.
All right. And then, I mean, you said, you know, getting into habits and things like that. When you're talking about separating, since it's not single stream recycling at VCRS, you know, what are developing those habits look like, is other than rinsing out, like you already mentioned, you know, making sure that you're separating your aluminum, your steel, your various plastics.
Yeah, you know, I picked up a couple of the AIH, and Wasilla has some really sturdy. They're blue. They have the little recycling logo. You might have seen them at Live at 5, and they are just, you know, getting yourselves where you can keep things in a trash can so you don't have bear trouble. And people are also concerned about that. But if you rinse it enough, I think, you know, the smell won't collect. And hope, you know, with this weekly drop-off, it won't gather up like people have in their yards right now.
Accumulate too much, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just having a place to put things, you know, it's easy enough to have the tin or, you know, in one and then the aluminum in another. So you're not making up more work for yourself. You know, by getting a system is going to make people save time.
Okay. And I guess we should mention, you know, we talked about aluminum cans. Obviously, I think most people aluminum cans are what things like pop and beer come in. We talked about what plastic number two is, but tin and steel cans.
Yeah, it's really,
They're in the same category of recyclables?
You know,
or?
it's the same thing. It's
okay.
A magnet has to stick to it. So
okay,
you could stick a magnet by your
That's
going to
be the stuff that like your canned soup and vegetables and pet food and stuff like that comes in?
Correct. And in that case, you know, it really is, it's steel cans. You know, I think tin is the wrong word, and I used it earlier. So it is steel cans with the lids, too.
I think it's kind of, I think a lot of people still say tin can, even though you're right. They're not really made of tin anymore for the most part.
Right. And they can have the paper on them, you know, they have to be rinsed out. You know, if you crush them, it just, it's nice. It just, you know.
Well, it saves on volume for one.
Yeah, I mean,
if you crush aluminum cans or okay.
Yep.
Well, we are just about at the bottom of the hour. The topic today on Sioux Valley Voice is the Talkeetna Recycling Program. My guest at the moment is Katie Ryder, and we'll still have Katie in the building here with us and in the studio. But we're going to try to get Molly Boyer from VCRS on the line for the second half hour, and then we'll be right back in a few minutes. If you want to join the conversation, the number to call when we come back is 733-1200, or you can send an email to dj@ktna.org. We'll be right back with the rest of Sioux Valley Voice. We're back for the second half of Sioux Valley Voice. The topic today is recycling here in Talkeetna. We're waiting to get Molly Boyer on the line. We're expecting that here momentarily. Molly, I think we do have Molly on the line now. Give me one second, and we'll try to patch you through here.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about the feedback there. Molly, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We can hear you as well. So we were just talking a little bit about the program here in Talkeetna and how that's going to look and work. It's still working on the feedback issue here. It's a little bit better than it was. Yeah, it's kind of this. Yeah, it happens sometimes when we use the secondary line, but. So we were just discussing the volunteers and how Katie was stressing the importance of making sure that things are sorted and cleaned properly. Molly, can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Well, the success of the program, the recycling program here in the Mat-Su, which the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions oversees and runs, depends on the quality of the material so that we can readily market it and, if possible, use it here as feedstock for new products. So sorting, that's where sorting comes in, because the end users who use these materials, they're looking for one type of material. They're not looking for paper mixed with plastic, and unfortunately the different types of plastic can't be used together. So if they're looking for number one peat bottles, that's what they need. They can't even have the other types of peat one in there because they're made differently, and that changes the viscosity, which changes their ability to be used to make new products together. And then the cleanliness, obviously, you want to empty your bottles and jugs because the liquids, that's not plastic. Now that's water and or other types of organic material, and as is the food in this number five plastics that we get. Okay. And the steel cans. Those folks who are using the steel cans to make rebar or whatever they're going to make with it, they're not looking for food to be in there. So the closer we can come to providing the end user with the material they're going to be able to actually use, the more readily we can market our material, maintain a good reputation so they want to buy it, not get put to the end of the line.
Okay.
When they're buying, and get a good price for it.
Okay. Well, for those listening, you are listening to Sioux Valley Voice. The topic today is recycling in the Upper Valley. We've been talking specifically about Talkeetna, but Katie reminded me during the break that there are multiple communities in the Valley working on this. If you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can send an email to dj@ktna.org. And I think I figured out the technical issue that was causing that rather unpleasant feedback, and hopefully that's resolved now. So, Katie, can you kind of run down what other communities are?
You bet. You know, Meadow Lakes they've had their own recycling program, and I want to mention them first because they've been doing this for quite a while already, and they've been creating trailers. I think it's valleyrecycling.org or .com. You can look. They even have a website. And is that right?
No.
Oh. Okay, correct
that's
me.
That's ours, Valley Recycling.
VCRS
okay, so
is Valley
are
Recycling.
Are they Mid-Valley? Which one is it, Molly?
I'd have to go hunting. I know it's Big Lake, at the Big Lake Transfer Station.
Okay.
Is where they operate.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what they're, maybe if they just people Google Mid-Valley
sure,
Recycling.
I can look it up. I have it on my phone. But so that one area, they've been doing it for a while, and that now they have the money raised for two containers as well. They serve a greater, quite a huge size, and so they're going to be really bringing in a lot of volume. And Willow is also on board, and they've raised the money for one container, and I believe they're going to be using plastics for all three of their compartments.
Okay.
And I think the other communities that Butch had mentioned were Sutton and Butte, is that correct, Molly?
Those are other areas with transfer sites.
With transfer sites that they're trying to get on board to recycling.
Okay.
It's all being offered to all of the transfer sites to pursue the option to refurbish and remodel the 40-yard containers that the landfill has and use them for recycling at the transfer sites.
Okay.
And then those, in turn, the solid waste landfill, they will transport them.
Right, yeah. We talked about that in the top half, about how that had been kind of an obstacle to recycling, at least in this community. In the past, people have been trying for decades, it seems like, but now that seemed to be the clincher, is once the borough was able to help take on that load of transporting it.
Well, and another big component is we had to be able to have the equipment and the facility to actually receive it. Because we are the only recycling center in the Mat-Su.
Okay, yeah.
Right, so before that, we only got the baler that allows us to handle more material last May. So we've had it a year. Our staff now loves the new equipment, understands it, and our processing floor has been shifted around for logistics to work towards having those larger commercial and transfer site volumes come here.
Okay. And we Katie did manage to look up. It is midvalleyrecycling.com is the Big Lake program website. And then valleyrecycling.org is VCRS. So,
well, good to clarify. Thank you, Philip.
All right. So, Molly, while we've got you on the line, one of the things that I found interesting in the course of the development and fundraising for all this is where some of this stuff goes and how it's used. I mean, obviously, recycling's been around for a long time, but, you know, in Talkeetna, the current discussion is aluminum cans, steel cans, and plastic number two to start with. So where does that end up, and what does it end up getting used in?
Okay, well, aluminum cans, recycling of metals has been around the longest of all of oil paper, maybe right next behind it. But the markets for scrap metals are pretty reliable. You know, the prices go up and down just like any feedstock does, but the usability and the national and international desire for those feedstocks is big. The largest export by volume for the United States now is paper, but
okay,
that's not on your list. So we go back to the plastics. Plastics has been around the least long. So the markets and actually the understanding of how to reuse the plastics is new to our, is actually globally. So
okay,
whether it's national or international, people are still working towards getting good products to make from it, having reliable feedstock. I know that some of that extruded lumber is some of the things that number twos are made into.
Okay.
And it's a little bit mixed how number twos. We're learning, the manufacturers are still in a pretty big learning curve on how to maximize the use of these materials. And we're right here, we're looking at how could we use some of it locally. Some of it can go back into, be turned back into a liquid and be turned back into gasoline, kerosene, and diesel. And we're doing some research on that here now to see if that would make sense. Because right now we can only take the number two jugs. They have to have the number two on the bottom with a seam across it.
Okay.
The opening smaller than the body. Those other number twos that look like margarine containers or yogurt or various things like that, those are thermoformed, and we don't have a market for those.
Okay.
But they can go back into this plastics to oil technology.
Right. Well, and that's something I know you and I have talked about in the past that I'm completely fascinated by, and so I'm sure we'll be here. I'm sure our listeners will be hearing a little bit more about that as time goes on. We've discussed, you know, Katie, you said the second container is also in the works, and my understanding is plastic number one, number five, and mixed paper are what's kind of in line for that one. So ultimately there will be six things: steel cans, aluminum cans, plastic number two jugs, as Molly just clarified, and then number ones, number fives, and mixed paper.
That's correct, and that's what we all voted on in the earlier meetings, and it seems to be a wise choice.
Kind of holding to that. Okay, and so mixed paper, I mean, obviously it's somewhat intuitive, I guess, but one thing that I was a little surprised to learn is that it doesn't just mean paper as in, you know, the thickness of something you might pull out of an office printer. Yeah, here we got a little thing here that, you know, magazines, catalogs, paperback books, torn egg cartons, that was a little surprising. And then I think, what was it? I was, at one point, I think, construction paper, and then as thick as something as a poster board. So, like, I mean, the thickness of, like, a cereal box almost.
Right, well, cereal boxes are typical. They're paper board. So it's the lowest quality of paper is micro paper. It has the shortest fibers. It brings in the least amount of money.
Okay.
So the hierarchy is office paper brings in the most, and that's because it has the least color on it and the longer fibers. Cardboard has the longest fibers, so that's a good one. And newspaper, because it's consistent material.
I see. And so cardboard then is potentially a good way to get a return out of recycling paper.
And we produce a lot of that everywhere, but in Alaska we have even more because of all the shipping involved in getting our materials here. And then our newspaper stays here in our community year-round. That a company, Thermacool, buys all of our newspaper and uses it to make their products. The biggest one is cellulose insulation, but another big one is they make the astromulch that's used along the sides of the road during construction or regrassing, and then they have several more products. And during construction season, they're busy. They take all of our cardboard and pay us for that as well.
Okay, so, I mean, there's actually a lot of this does end up getting used in-state then, or at least some of the products.
Right, right. And that's the ability of us to really promote local economic development and new businesses using the products that we, the material here that we collect, because we can say, hey, we got a good feedstock for you.
Okay. We did have another question coming over the email here. One was asking us to restate what could be recycled, but I think we just went through that again. Aluminum cans and steel cans and plastic number two will be first, and then plastic number one, plastic number five, and mixed paper will be added a little bit later on. And then for folks in Trapper Creek, how's that going to work? And I don't know, Katie, do we have a solid answer on that?
Well, is it, if I'm correct, I've seen people from Trapper Creek using the transfer site. Do they already, is this where they bring their garbage on a regular basis?
I think that's a Butch Shapiro question,
I know.
Perhaps.
I mean, there's not a transfer site in Trapper Creek, right?
Not that I'm aware of. Right. There's that one, there's the, yeah.
So in that case, if they're already a user of the transfer site, then, you know, they're already bringing their trash there. They absolutely should be able to recycle.
Yeah, but Molly, you know, do you have any insight on that?
Well, the pretty exciting thing that's happening is, you know, first we needed a recycling center. It took us almost 18 years to get a permanent place that could handle large amounts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we can start growing the program to the transfer sites, and I'd say transfer sites are first. The landfill is looking to reduce what's going into the landfill because it's so unmanageable. And I think our community really needs to understand that we have to work on what is our role in not producing the trash, that we're making somebody else figure out how to handle it. Right. But as we can get more recycling happening, I know first we got to get the transfer sites and figure that out, because there's going to be new stuff that we can't even think of related to that. After we get that piece done, maybe then we can look towards how can we expand beyond the transfer sites.
Right. Well, and I mean, kind of touching on what Katie was saying, too, you know, if it's stuff that's ending up in the central landfill anyway, I would think based on the reasoning for, you know, promoting recycling at the borough level, it would make sense for them to be able to do that. But so that's something we might have to follow up with Macy Shapiro on, Butch Shapiro on, about whether or not this works. Looks like we got another question over the email. If you want to join us on the air, the number to call is 733-1200. Oh, and this is a very interesting question. As far as cleaning recyclables, we have a question from Ed here in Talkeetna that says, with so many people without running water, rinsing can be a challenge if you're hauling water. He says, I wonder if rubber scrapers, perhaps with recycling or TRW logo stickers, could be used as a fundraising premium education. The fact that containers do need to be cleaned. So, yeah, I mean, any thoughts on folks that don't have?
My suggestion is when they do their dishes, right, before they throw that dishwater away, when it's really messy, you can rinse things out with it. They just need to be rinsed out and the food out. They don't have to be something you can eat off of.
Okay.
Right? But they need the liquid out and they need any of the hard food out of it.
Okay.
So using your old dishwater to soak things and dump things works really well.
Yeah, when Katie had just written down on the notes here, gray water. So that's I think that's exactly what you were. That's happened a few times that one of you is, I think, finished the other's
and
thought
maybe
on
they
this.
Could collect some rainwater as well with this new rain.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So okay, so that's good to know, is that you don't actually have to have, it doesn't have to be like pristine sparkling. It just, there can't be any gunk in it, essentially. Okay, so let's, Katie, you had some other notes here. What were you wanting to
Yeah, you know, this is, I know we got 10 minutes left in the hour, and thank you, Molly, for tuning in. We kind of put you on the spot here. You show up at work, and we put you on the air. But you're always a wonderful resource, and you know, we talked earlier in the show about having you come up, or one of the VCRS people coming up for some training, and, you know, we'll be in touch. Maybe we could tie it into a live at 5 where people come for a fun time, and then, you know, even just a half an hour discussion of for the volunteers what they can be expecting at the transfer site.
Sure, we'd be happy to do that. We love working with you.
Oh, great.
And Talkeetna.
Well, great. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about just in regards to the increase of the rate of trash began today, July 1st, and there's been some talk that people are going to start dumping their garbage at the end of roads. And, oh, people, please, let's not go backwards. That's something that I just wanted to emphasize that, you know, yeah, it is, for a lot of people, an extra $2 is a lot. It wasn't a gradual increase in rate. But, you know, we just don't want that to happen.
No, certainly not. I would, you know, and one thing that's interesting that we haven't, I think I mentioned it at the top of the show, but you know, the solid waste division of the borough—it's pretty well known, at least every time the budget cycle comes up, that the solid waste division runs in the red. And I think there was a lot of back and forth. I remember during the budget process with the borough assembly on how much to raise solid waste fees, and then there was talk of charging for recycling, and then. The determination they ultimately came to was that it would be a much stronger incentive to perhaps increase the trash cost even more, but keep recycling free, and that's the incentive to take the extra time to sort and to rinse and to do all that stuff so that you're not paying $3 a bag anymore,
right.
or whatever the increased cubic rate is. I only usually have one or two bags of trash at a time, so I don't even know what the current cubic yardage rate is.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. I think you're right. And I know most people, when they talk about budgets, they think it's part of our property taxes, but mm-hmm. the landfill does work off of the tipping fee only.
That is a good point to bring up. It's one of the enterprise funds that the borough runs. It's the solid waste, or the landfill solid waste, Port McKenzie, and then things like everybody's favorite topic, Talkeetna Sewer and Water. Are all enterprise funds, meaning that they actually are not allowed to use any property tax dollars. They have to try to sustain themselves somehow. And if you want to, yeah, you go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, you know, I think just once again, I think that when Molly was helping me start writing the grants, and you know, some of the language that we used is that we're all partners in this, and the communities are. In partnership with the VCRS as well as the Mat-Su Borough. Mm. And we're really, we really appreciate all of your support, Molly, down there as we, you know, are in the growing phases of having a successful recycling program. And I really want to thank Butch Shapiro in the borough. You know, a lot of people complain a lot about the borough and so forth, but they're really stepping forward here to help us. And, you know, they're really making it easy for us by transporting this and offering this opportunity.
And making those 40-yard containers available to be refurbished. That was, you know, pretty big. They're really, they see the importance of it, and they're ready to work with us, and we're able to handle it. So it's the timing is right. We're moving forward together. That was really well put, Katie, that it's our partnership that makes this possible. And I think, you know, part of what we purposely did is locate down here by the central landfill so that the transport costs would be the same, so that they wouldn't. They can add it to contracts that working with the transfer sites and the trash haulers, commercial guys out there too, didn't have to recalculate their transport costs
for extra
to
fuel,
offer
yeah.
recycling.
Well, that was really good planning, and we go ahead, Philip.
Well, speaking of planning, I was just going to say we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left that we can talk here. What do the future plans look like? We'll start with Katie. You know, you said you're looking to potentially online in about 2.5 weeks, the first container, the second one sometime after that. So looking ahead, what can we anticipate?
You know, we can anticipate a community, you know, setting an example in Alaska is really awesome, and I'm really proud to be, you know, part of the grassroots of this. And You know, I think that, you know, just recycling in Alaska needs to start happening, and it's already happening, but I want to, you know, see it happening statewide, and that, you know, when tourists come here, they say, why doesn't Alaska have recycling? And so in that sense, I think that we've made a lot of progress in a short amount of time, considering we just started, the committee was formed in December, and here we are, you know, really moving forward. And
yeah.
So that's really how I see it, that, you know, in the long run, I'd love to see Talkeetna next summer have in front of every business, you know, that we have a system for people to put their recyclables in there, and that we have an organized system to have it, you know, maintained, and you know, that's going to be some of our next big goals.
Okay. All right. And Molly, as far as VCRS goes, what are the plans for the immediate future, the next 6-12 months or so?
Well, our big project right now is outreach, so that everybody in the Mat-Su Borough does know that there is a community recycling center here, and that it's free to bring your stuff here. We had to quit doing our outreach 8 years ago because we could only handle our natural growth with the equipment we had.
Mm.
And when we moved into the new building, it took us 4 extra years to get the equipment. So now that we've got the equipment in place, the building, we're in the right location, we want every business, every resident to know there's this option, and to work with our outlying communities to really get the transfer sites working together to have that happen, working with our school district to have that in place, and maybe those end up partnering with the transfer site community. So it's just making sure we're doing our outreach, and we'll be singing loud and long about recycling. So thank you for the invite to be a part of the program today.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. And then, Katie, another note you just wrote down here is about recycling in the curriculum for the schools.
Yes, and I think that, you know, when you talk about what's in the future, and I'm going to be talking with Lisa Shelby, the principal of Talkeetna Elementary School, as well as the principal of the Sioux Valley High School, about having, you know, recycling in the curriculum. And Molly's talked about, hey, bring them down. They have a classroom at VCRS that's
okay.
Really educational. You can look over. It's, you know, it's got a window looking into the area where all the big machinery is, and it's really impressive. So I look forward to seeing the schools, you know, having field trips down there. And once you get the kids on board, then the parents, you're going to have to follow suit.
So go ahead, Molly.
Well, just that it becomes what's the norm.
Right.
We're working towards the recycling being the norm. You know, in 10 years, a lot of people will think this is how it's always been, is there's recycling.
Right. Well, and outside, it already is kind of that way. A lot of places you go in the lower 48. So we've got a couple minutes left. Let's take a minute to go through sources of information. So I think we've talked about a lot of different things, and we didn't get into too much detail on what the different, you know, the half dozen varieties of plastics are, but there are resources online where people can get a hold of that information. So valleyrecycling.org is the VCRS website, and they're on Facebook, Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. And then the Talkeetna Recycling Committee is there's an email there, talkeetnarecycling@gmail.com or Talkeetna Recycling Works on Facebook. And then looks like the main line at VCRS here is 745-5544. And what are y'all's hours of operation down there, Molly?
We're open for recycling drop-off Tuesday through Friday from 10:30 to 6 p.m., 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Fridays from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. We will be closed this Saturday for the 4th of July.
Okay, for the holiday, sure. And then are those the same hours for folks who might want to come down and take a look at the classroom and learn about what's going on?
We're actually in the office at 10 a.m.
Okay.
On Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay, so folks can actually come in a little bit earlier if they're not dropping off.
Yeah, and you too.
I do. I intend to. I know we've discussed it before. So, and then what's this? You've got another number here, Katie?
Yeah, and this is the volunteer coordinator is Cece, and thank you, Cece, for stepping into this position. You're going to be wonderful. And her cell phone is 355-8324.
Okay. Great. So I think we've covered most of the information sources out there. We'll also put those up online, links to the various pages, as well as the official phone numbers for things, so that folks with questions can hopefully have them answered. That's just about. Well, and thank you, Molly, for joining me, and thank you, Katie Ryder, for joining me here in the studio. That's just about all the time we've got today for Sioux Valley Voice. My guests have been Katie Ryder from the Talkeetna Recycling Committee and Molly Boyer from the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. If you missed part of the show or want to listen again, we will rebroadcast the show at 7 o'clock tonight, or you can go online and listen anytime at ktna.org. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.